Hey everybody, this is Kate.
And Devin.
Welcome to Midcrimes.
We're back.
Hi, guys.
Oh, my goodness.
It has been like a game changer of a week.
Oh, what a week.
What is happening? I'm asking because I don't know. I feel like because of everything that's been going on with the Redonda Vaught case, we've gotten a lot of new listeners. So thank you.
Well,
welcome.
Thank you all. I
this is amazing.
We did this case at the right time.
So it was very timely.
Everybody's looking at it, and then they're like, oh my gosh. But then we got a lot of you who were messaging us, and it was like, you know, I was searching for stuff about Redonda, or I came across you, and then you just, like, binge-watched the rest of us.
Yes.
I literally had someone today say to me, I just finished all your episodes, and now I don't know what to do. I said, well, we're recording tonight, so.
I love that so much.
It's coming soon.
Well, thank you guys for taking a leap of faith and listening, and we hope that you just totally, you know, continue to enjoy our content,
yeah,
because we
grow.
Love doing this. It's become so much fun for us.
So somebody said to me, hey, man, you're really going to have to, like, get something out weekly, which we try.
We average every week and a half to two at most. Yeah, we do our best.
But we're like, oh my God.
We also have families
and
full-time jobs. Yeah, it's rough. We do our best. And every time we get together, it's like, you know, all of a sudden, like, time just flies. It's impossible to keep track of time. And
think
it's like all of a sudden.
Think about your mom and young children and how you're like, I don't know what. But hey, yeah. We're figuring it out and we're getting it in there and we're enjoying it. And we're both, I just said to Kate today, I'm like, it's finally recording day.
I know.
Like, we had plans, two or three days ago. And
yes.
That had to get canceled.
Things fall apart.
But we're like, oh my God, finally.
I got my podcast pants on, my comfy pants,
Look at you.
I know, we got podcast pants here.
It's finally the end of March, so I feel like I'm not completely freezing in this basement.
It is almost time for, like, consistent warm weather, and I'm so ready. When the first 3 months of the year, for me, just drags so hard.
It's
so hard.
Almost time for us to take our podcast on the road when we start camping.
Oh my God. That's going to be interesting.
We're going to start making this thing mobile. And I say that only because we kind of have to figure out how.
Yeah.
We have to.
Well, thankfully, we have laptops and the mics are somewhat portable. So yeah. We're just going to have to navigate it. And good luck to you guys who are listening, because we have no idea how that's going to go.
I don't know.
But we're going to do our best.
They got rec halls at campgrounds, right?
Yeah.
We could do that. Well, then, you know. Yeah, we got creepers in the background.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. No rec
holes. We'll figure it out.
It's going to be an interesting endeavor.
So we didn't initiate, like, when you brought up this case, we were going to talk about it and whatever, but I don't think we initiated or initially planned on having to do a part two.
No, I don't think
so. Part two.
Yeah.
But our episode came out.
Yep. We had it
the week before the trial.
Yeah. And a lot of people are requesting that we do sort of a follow up and
and I think
summarization.
You and I, too, were like, okay, so the week our episode is playing, the trial is happening. You and I both talked every day about recapping the trial of Redonda and what was happening.
Exactly.
And then, of course, the verdict came out last Friday. Mm-hmm. And so maybe for those of you that are listening to us that are not medical, you might not know the verdict. And I'm sure all of you out there in healthcare know the verdict and what has happened, because this really struck us to dive a little bit deeper.
Yes.
Recap the trial and kind of talk about what's been happening on social media since then.
We've had some people kind of reach out on our social media platforms too and offer us A, more details, and B, like, some corrections and some insight from those of you who have worked in an ICU level of care, which neither Devin or I have. So that was really helpful.
No.
And so we're just going to kind of tidy things up and add a few more details that we've uncovered.
And it's great, you know, when we can get experience feedback from some of our listeners, you know, when they kind of clarified some of their Acuronium stuff that came up.
We love
but
that.
Then we also got some clarifications from the actual trial, because again, this was the first case that we discussed where we didn't have court documents because court hadn't existed yet.
Right. Yep.
So now that you do, you can kind of filter through what was fact and what was fiction.
That's right.
A little bit. The other bomb that we got to drop is our Patreons.
Patreon shout out time.
Hey, because we got more.
We did.
So, Kate, first one.
Shell, C-H-E-L-L, which is like a really cool singular name thing that you're doing. Shell, we love you. We appreciate you.
Shell by the seashore.
Yeah, except it's with a C, which is even cooler.
And we're not in the seashore because we're woodland creatures.
No. Yes, we are woodland creatures. And
when we get towards summer, we need to be like seashore.
I think that this group of people are mythical dragons.
Oh.
Yeah.
Michelle Dwight, you're a mythical dragon.
Michelle Dwight.
Fire-breathing mythical dragon.
We love you, Michelle Dwight. Thank you so much. So, 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 so much. And last but not least, Caitlin Smith.
Hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
Thank you, Caitlin.
Welcome to the three of you.
I'm a fan of the Kates, so yes. Thank you, Caitlin.
I can attest to that. She does like the Kates. Thank you so much to the three of you, and welcome to our Patreon family.
Welcome to the family.
Yes, we really very much appreciate you so much.
Because of you guys, I got new headphones today.
Yes.
I no longer have the kitty looking teal collar. I mean, they were adorable, but well, I mean, they belong to your 6-year-old.
No, well, so. Yes, they did. So we another upgrade. So thank
another
you again.
Upgrade. It's all going into making this a thing.
Like sound more. Halfway yeah. Decent.
We're rocking it.
We really are.
Okay, Kate.
Okay,
so
with that.
Let's get into the rest
right.
of our stuff here.
So we're going to do just a real brief overview. So Redonda Vaught is a 38-year-old RN prior was an RN who made a fatal medication error back in 2017 at her workplace, which was Vanderbilt University Medical Center. And she performed a cabinet override to retrieve Versed for a patient. There was a constellation of issues here between both her and the environment, which culminated in her giving the patient vecuronium bromide, a paralytic, instead of Versed, which is a benzodiazepine used in pre-procedural sedation. And ultimately, that caused a 75-year-old patient by the name of Charlene Murphy to go into respiratory arrest, and she unfortunately died. So if you haven't listened to part one, we highly recommend you do so, because in this episode, we're not going to go into the details of the right. error itself. Because
you'll get a lot more details into how everything occurred.
Yeah, the actual error and the mechanics
and
of it all.
What happened.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't listened to part one, please do that before you listen to this one. So the key takeaways, though, from the first episode, number one is that Redonda bypassed a total of 10 electronic and clinical red flags. They were in the form of electronic messages when she performed this cabinet override, as well as clinical red flags. And to me, the most significant, in my opinion, is the fact that vecuronium bromide comes in a powder form and not a liquid. And that required her to reconstitute the powder or mix it with liquid to create a liquid and draw it up into a syringe. And she would have had to read the vial to determine how right. to do this. And she still did not make the connection that it was not right. Versed that she was drawing up.
That was the area where, you know, I'm kind of...
It was striking.
Like, I was given a lot of pushback to some different things. Yes. And like, no. But then when you said this part, I was like, oh, all right. That one's disappointing. Like, that part struck out to me.
Same.
But...
to me, that's the most significant. Yep, to me, yep, that's the most yep. significant.
Yes.
So, also, Redonda had made the decision to leave the patient unattended after she administered what she thought was Versed to the patient. So, administration of Versed, it bears monitoring. It just does. Because it is a sedative. Mm-hmm. And this led to the patient having been anoxic for a period of time because she was unattended. Had someone been there for this period, they may have noticed that she wasn't breathing and right. would have potentially been able to resuscitate her.
The series of respiratory distress had started.
Exactly.
The potential was there.
The potential
was
there.
The outcome had been the same potentially.
Yeah.
But the potential for a resuscitation.
Exactly. Now, Vanderbilt's pharmacy had a known electronic issue at the time with communication between the electronic medical record and the drug cabinet, and that had been forcing staff to perform cabinet overrides to obtain most medications for their patients at the time. And even before this communications error, though, overrides were common practice on the floor, and pharmacy and administration had been aware of this for ages, and this was just what you do. Mm-hmm. Now, Vanderbilt did not initially report the medication error to any governing body, which is totally illegal, and essentially they attempted to cover this up, and they took a lot of steps to do this. The medication error, although believed to be the direct cause of her death, was not reported to the medical examiner office either, and thus the death was initially reported as natural from the subdural right. hematoma that she was admitted with. So once the error was identified, she immediately owned up to it, and she was terminated only days later.
This is one of the things that, since our first episode and since following through the case and now watching stuff post, and since the case is over, she's doing a lot more interviews and whatnot. I highly respect from her.
Same.
Is the accountability she's had from the minute she realized her mistake.
She's carried herself very well through this entire thing. And we have a clip that we're going to try to play.
Yes.
At the end of all of this that just really speaks to the kind of person she is. And she is, you know, 100% at fault here, but so is Vanderbilt. By a lot.
Yes.
And we're going to get into the nitty-gritty.
And we said that from the very beginning. You know, I fully agreed, you know, as unfortunate as it may be, that, you know, to practice nursing further would not be the right decision. So I,
100%,
you
know, I agree.
The loss of the license with the nursing board, completely agree with. But as a person, I highly, highly, highly respect that she has kept her integrity throughout
Agreed.
All this thing.
I think she's a good person.
She, you know, she, I think she also wants Vanderbilt to be held accounted
oh, yeah,
for
of course.
The role that they played in this, because Absolutely. It's significant. And I'd be interested Huge. To know, I mean, you can't turn back time, but I'd be interested to know how everything would have played out if Vanderbilt had done what they were supposed to do at the time.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Would we
agree.
Even be here
right.
talking about this case?
Because exactly. Because the
you
hospital
might not have
would've...
had other sources involved that got involved later. But
right. But know. The hospital would have been forced to take some accountability there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
maybe forming this scapegoat would not have been necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
So DHHS, the Department of Health in Tennessee, performed an initial review and cleared Redonda of any wrongdoing once they got wind of this. And after an anonymous tipster reported the medication error to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, that's when sort of the shit hit the fan.
Right.
And they launched this whole investigation, this surprise investigation into Vanderbilt. This was about a year later.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the point at which the Department of Health walked back on their initial recommendation to clear Redonda and reopened their whole investigation and cited her for the medication error, and she lost her nursing license in 2018.
Right. But even then, so even, you know, and again, to kind of show the effect that it had on her in that year of her not working at Vanderbilt, she was doing a job that required an RN license, but it was not at the bedside.
No, she had removed herself from the bedside.
And again,
she
I
was
think
not
that's
asked
something
to do that.
That's very... shows high integrity.
Yeah, she's got integrity.
You know, how much this affected 100%. Her. She's still holding herself accountable. Does she feel like she can practice at the bedside? She still at that time had the license to do so, but she
exactly.
removed herself.
Exactly.
And did a job where that required the initials, mm-hmm. but...
Exactly. Exactly right. Now, with the media attention that this garnered once oh. this investigation opened,
right.
with that came criminal charges. Yeah.
And this has been the part that's been very debatable.
Exactly. This mm-hmm. is the part that's really gotten the medical community up in arms with good reason. She was charged with gross neglect of an impaired adult and reckless homicide. And the trial began the week of March 22nd of this year. So we've all mm-hmm. been sort of following that really closely. So those are sort of the big takeaways there. Now, there's a few details here that we've uncovered. Like we said, we uncovered a couple more little details that I wanted to add in because more is continuing to emerge around this. And as more has come out, I did get some things wrong. We got some things wrong. There were things that were misreported or that some media outlets got wrong. So I just want to
yeah,
make some
and
corrections.
Again, you know, prior to having the court documents, we're going all off of media and what we can find.
Exactly.
And the media, as we all know, only knows so much until it's presented in court.
That's right. Absolutely.
So we were only able to do as good as what we had for information. So
right.
now we can clarify.
Exactly. So from what I'm gathering, now ICU RNs do not typically push vecuronium routinely.
Which we had assumed this was a drug that she would have given many times
right.
before.
But we
one,
did.
We thought so.
Exactly. Neither yep. of us have worked in an
and I
intensive
think we
care.
We had a listener that also said that too.
We did. Yeah. This yeah. was. So we appreciate you for reaching out on Instagram and clarifying that. That's super helpful.
We've been enjoying all of this feedback. So yeah, we've
this
seen every single one of your
Yeah,
comments.
I know. We look at them all and we take them very seriously. So thank you. Now, this is most often given by anesthetists or anesthesiologists or whoever is intubating the patient. Mm-hmm. So the intubating provider will be the one most commonly pushing this. So that was good to know. Now, Redonda has admitted that she had never given vecuronium before, but she had given Versed multiple times. And in fact, she had admitted that she administered Versed only 24 hours prior to this event to another patient.
Mm-hmm.
So she knew very well that Versed typically comes in a liquid form.
And so it still confirms where we were saying that's disappointing. That
very
having
disappointing.
To reconstitute
Absolutely.
didn't trigger anything.
Exactly right. Now, there have been over 20 different cabinet overrides on this patient alone, on Charlene Murphy alone in her two-day hospital stay.
So prior to even giving this
prior med, to the Vecuronium, there was 20 cabinet overrides on her. So
that shows a system issue for
exactly, a huge system issue. Now, I had initially reported that she recognized the error. However, it was coming out in testimony that a colleague of hers discovered it. So what happened was Ethan Gully was a registered nurse that was working on the floor. After she gave the medication, she approached him with the vial containing some of the medication and asked him to waste it with her because Versed is a controlled substance. Mm-hmm. So this is when Ethan looked at the vial and he said, this is Vecuronium. This is not Versed. So that's when it clicked
in
for
her mind. She probably went, oh shit.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There was not a computer available in the PET CT holding
which
area.
Which, that actually makes me feel a little better, because one of the things, like, that I was in my mind on episode one, I was like, what made her think, just because she was going into respiratory arrest, all of a sudden for her to be like, oh my god, I think I gave her Vecuronium.
Right, so I guess that's,
you know?
Yeah.
So that was always just a question of mine, like, well, what triggered you to all of a sudden realize your mistake?
Exactly, right.
But it doesn't change how she's handled it.
Exactly,
so.
Yep. Now, it wasn't that there was, like, a computer down in the PET CT area and she just, like, decided not to sign it off. There was physically no computer or scanner in that area.
Okay.
And pre-medications are often given in that holding mm-hmm. area. So, mm-hmm. like, this is another, there was no
policy.
So
there should have been one.
There should have been one. There was no policy around giving pre-medications in the mm-hmm. holding area, but it did routinely get done. So that's another shortcoming as far as Vanderbilt goes. Now, what this did was it forced nurses to retrieve medications from the floor and bring them down, not scanning the patient and not scanning the drug. So, and this was Redonda's first nursing job. That's another thing that I got wrong.
Oh, okay, because I think I asked that question on how long she'd been practicing.
And I thought that she had been practicing longer, but she was a newer nurse when this occurred.
Okay.
So, with that, we are going to get into the trial. So, nurses came from all over to watch portions of the trial and to hear the verdict. So, some were from different states and even across the country. And a lot of them, if you look at some of the footage, were, like, wearing shirts that with, like, sayings that supported her.
Like,
and a lot
I stand with Redonda.
Yes.
Or I am Redonda.
Yep, exactly
right. I've seen a lot of that.
And a lot of them showed up in scrubs and were wearing
good
scrubs in solidarity.
I've heard, I don't know if I'm getting ahead of myself with what you're having here, but I have heard that if you stand in solidarity with Redonda on May 13th to wear purple.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That is the
oh,
color
neat
to support her. Don't wear
okay
black because that's Vanderbilt something.
Oh.
But that's just something, again, social media. Who knows
yeah,
what's
I know,
true,
right?
But
who knows?
I mean,
yeah.
If you're kind of on day of sentencing, I've kind of heard that.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very cool. That's good to know. Now, Charlene Murphy's family, of course, was also in the gallery all week. But they, from what I'm hearing, were never really gung-ho about pressing charges.
I heard I saw
they,
that, too.
They never,
yep,
they never agreed with that.
Yep. And, in fact, one of the things in one of Redonda's interviews was, what has been meant the most to you throughout this whole thing? And mm-hmm. you would think that it could be like the camaraderie from her nursing colleagues and everybody from the nursing
right
community around the nation. But she actually said it was a conversation between Charlene's grandson and a conversation and how gracious he was to her and just...
That's good to
hear.
And
so she said it, he said a lot of nice things to her and then kind of brought Charlene into it, how it kind of showed her what kind of person Charlene was.
Absolutely.
Based upon how her grandson acts.
Right.
Throughout this thing and how he has treated her kindly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he's respected the fact that she's held her own self accountable throughout this and not
absolutely
deflected anything. So I really liked that. That
yeah,
she
that's
chose to bring that in with.
Yeah, that's neat.
To her family.
Absolutely. Now, opening statements began on Tuesday, March 22nd. Now, the prosecutor in the case was Assistant District Attorney, Debbie Housel. And she begins by telling the jury about the five rights of medication administration and what we are all taught in nursing school. And she, of course, went through each electronic warning that Redonda bypassed on the cabinet. She described that the two CT techs found Murphy unresponsive and called the code blue, and that her family was in the hospital and heard the code blue being called, and they became concerned because they knew that she was down there.
Mm-hmm.
So Housel had also said to the jury that Redonda had told the other nurses that she had made, quote, a bunch of mistakes, end quote, and that she should not have rushed the override, which is 100% true. Mm-hmm. Now, Redonda's lawyer, Peter Stryance, provides his opening statements following that, and he argues that to err is human. He mentions what the state completely neglected to mention, which was all of the systemic issues which contributed to her error, and he argues that the prescribing physician, first of all, did not order any monitoring for the Versed. Mm-hmm. Now, for me, that's not necessarily a reason to not
we do things with nursing judgment that don't require an order.
Exactly, so, right. Yeah. Exactly right. So there was that. And he also did argue that she did a cabinet override because this was standard procedure at the time. Mm-hmm. And he highlights that Vanderbilt reported nothing.
And she was not the only nurse to have done it if it was 20 not. Times in the 2 days.
No, God, no. Right. Everybody on the floor just was doing this. Right. Exactly. Now, he highlights that Vanderbilt reported absolutely nothing and essentially covered up the entire error. And a CMS investigation only resulted when an anonymous whistleblower alerted them of the error. And he also raised the point that Murphy's original medical condition, a subdural hematoma, could have led to her death. Mm-hmm. And there is no actual way of knowing what dose of vecuronium that she received. Because a small dose, if that's what she got, may not have even caused respiratory arrest.
Right.
So there's that.
And
little
then
piece
there was
of,
no autopsy to confirm
well,
an actual
that's
cause
the thing.
Of death.
That's the thing. You know? Exactly right. Now, he's
trying to come to somebody's defense. I can see how he could bring that up.
So he is quoted to having said, quote, "This is a musical chairs game of blame. And in the blame game, other nurses and doctors and the hospital, whom are potentially to blame, have all found a seat. But in the blame game, there is no seat left for Redonda Vaught." So essentially what he's saying is like, you know, this was a massive error on many different levels, mm-hmm. Redonda included. Mm-hmm. But why is everything falling on this nurse?
Just her.
This healthcare worker.
No, I agree. I completely agree.
So the state starts calling some witnesses. So first of all is Chandra Murphy, who's the victim's daughter-in-law. Now, she was at the hospital at the time, and she was with her mother-in-law before she went to PET CT. And she had said that they had interacted prior to this event, her and Charlene, and that Charlene was feeling well, aside from having a mild headache from mm-hmm. the hematoma. And she, when Charlene was down there, she had heard over the PA system the code blue being called, and she watched in dismay as staff worked on her mother-in-law, which must have been extremely traumatic and
stressful.
Distressing. Absolutely. Yes. So the next witness is Ethan Gully, who was that nurse on the unit that identified her error.
Okay.
So he testified that the cabinet overrides are necessary at times. Mm-hmm. And he testified that there was a time crunch because at the time the PET CT staff are waiting on her to be pre-medicated in order to perform the test within that mm-hmm. time slot. And she was already in the holding area. Yeah. So there was that little bit of, you know, rush contributed. Exactly. Just like with every other task that you're assigned to. So he told the story of Redonda approaching him with the vial of the vecuronium and asking him to waste it with her, which was when he realized that this is not Versed. And he also clarified that the order for the Versed was a sliding order for 1 to 2 milligrams. Okay.
Okay.
So in this order, the protocol would have been to give the initial dose of the 1 milligram, monitor the patient, wait to see if it provides that desired effect,
and give another
one. And if not, you give another 1 milligram for a total of up to 2 milligrams. Mm-hmm. So obviously she did not remain there at the bedside to see if the drug worked or not. She just gave the you know, what she thought was 1 milligram or 2 milligrams, or I'm not sure if we'll ever know. And so there's that piece also.
Yep.
Now, Darren Crooks is an RN at Vanderbilt, and he was the orientee.
I was going to say, he was the... Yep.
Yeah, he was the orientee that worked with Redonda that day on the unit. So she had initially reported that she was distracted with precepting, right? Mm-hmm. And he had requested her to learn from that day because he had been with her before and he really liked her as a teacher. Mm-hmm. And he felt that she was a really good teacher and very approachable. And he testified that within 5 to 10 minutes of identifying the area, the medical team was aware of what happened. So mm-hmm. it was immediately, pretty much as soon as she could get a hold of them.
Yep.
So
Again, showing that she did exactly what she should have done.
What she should have done. Do. Exactly right.
What a person of integrity does.
Exactly. So next is Dr. Eli Zimmerman. So Dr. Zimmerman was Murphy's attending physician at the time that this happened. And he took the stand and he was the lead on her medical team. So he testified that there's no real way to know whether the brain bleed was the cause of her death or contributed to her death, or it was the vecuronium alone, mm-hmm. unfortunately, because we don't know how much she got.
Right.
And then we have Ramona Smith. So Ramona Smith is a TBI or traumatic brain injury specialist, and she's actually a CMS investigator that participated in the surprise CMS investigation into the death, and she was a witness for the prosecution, and then the defense called on her as well. So she testified about her investigation and about her interviews with Vaught. Mm-hmm. Now, she was asked to read a portion of her meeting summary from an internal report that she wrote following the interviews with Vaught, and in it she reported, quote, "The Department of Health believes that Vanderbilt Medical Center carried a heavy burden of responsibility in this matter, and that there was initially no discipline for Vaught because, according to a Department of Health lawyer, a malpractice error has to be classified as gross negligence before any discipline could be sought. And at the time, the Department of Health had said that this was a medication error and it did not constitute a violation of statutes or rules governing the profession. So they cleared her to, right. you know, go back to work if she wanted right. to, which she did.
Right.
So, just as a sidebar, Vanderbilt has said nothing in these past, like, several years about this medication error. There was one statement that remember that guy made and he had said, our response was too limited. That was literally the only, yeah. and we were like, that's an interesting choice. Well, that's well written. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Nice choice words. Yeah,
nice choice of words. So that's the only thing that they've said about this. They have not come to Redonda's defense. They have not come to nothing. Not even since the trial. Nothing. They're rebranding, which is very timely.
Hmm.
They're redoing their logos and everything.
Imagine that.
Uh-huh.
You need to change the face a little bit,
yeah,
do you?
Yeah, exactly.
You need to change some of the,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Uh-huh. Need to appeal to the public a little bit more.
Yeah.
Now, the defense asks the question, when does a mistake become a criminal act?
Right. And right? and I think this has been the biggest...
This is the biggest thing.
This is the biggest question of this whole case. You know, to err is to human. You know, we kind of talked about with Dr. Dunch.
Yeah.
You know, they... throughout his pattern of stuff.
Yeah.
They still couldn't charge him as a criminal because no. they didn't have intent.
They didn't even want to take away his medical license no, because right? they were convinced yeah. that he was just fucking up real bad.
And so then it's like, then you have a mistake and...
I just don't get it.
The only
I mean,
thing
I get it.
So
I do.
Far... I get it.
Yeah.
I do. Because, you know, when you read in part one the descriptions of the charges...
Yes.
They fit.
Yes, they do. They do fit.
They do. And we're not disagreeing with that. But again, it, when you're just talking about the profession, because it's like, those that aren't in healthcare.
They don't understand
no,
what it's like.
They don't understand. And,
no.
And so that's where there's
and they
this
have opinions.
Divide, too. That's where there's this
yes.
divide. And that those that are in healthcare, very few of them agree with the charge.
Exactly right.
The only thing that someone not in healthcare that I agreed with, somebody said to me, well, when you're on autopilot, parents that are on autopilot driving to work,
yes.
leave their kid in the backseat of a hot car
yes.
all day long,
yes.
they are charged with a criminal.
Well, that's the thing.
With a crime.
You can. You can be
and
charged
so I get it.
For
and
mistakes so, that so, end lives. You can be. You can meet criminal charges.
Mm-hmm. That
absolutely.
That was the only part, that was the only thing in many discussions that I've yeah. had all week long that gave me the, yeah, okay, I get it.
You're
you know?
So right, and that's a great comparison. And
right.
somebody
because
had,
the parent is on autopilot. She was on autopilot going through
right.
the warnings.
They by no means
you
meant
have
to do this.
Other things on.
It's the worst thing, the worst day of their life, the
your
worst
guilt
thing.
Guilt is holding you accountable.
Yes.
You know, you,
exactly.
you feel complete guilt for what has happened.
But yet,
now this is happening.
Somebody
on top
died.
Of
so
that was the only time that I could like make a connection
yes.
to why, okay, we do this for them.
Yep.
So I get it.
Yes.
But then as a healthcare worker, I'm like, I don't like it.
I know. I don't like it either.
I get it, but I don't like it.
I know. I get it too. And somebody had described it similarly to me, like with negligent homicide coming out of a car accident. Like if somebody's driving, you know, driving a little too fast, or if they're sleep, like, you know, I mean, drunk driving is one thing like that. Yes, you definitely should go to jail because that's a terrible decision.
That's more than negligence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But if you're driving like maybe a little too fast and you miss a sign or something and you hit someone and kill them, you can go to jail.
Yes, you can.
And that does make sense to an extent. Yeah.
It just makes, and it brings to when I'm talking with my 3-year-old and something would have happened, then I'd go, it's okay, honey. Accidents happen.
Yeah.
But then again, as he gets older, how many times can I say, it's okay, accidents happen?
Yeah, I know. Because look, sometimes the accident happens, will put you in jail.
Yes. Sometimes the accident does put you in jail. Exactly. So it's just kind of like, but, oh, we're still going to get into it.
I know
We're going to get there.
I know it.
We're going to get to the reactions and the why.
Exactly. That it's just, now, her.
Patience, Devin.
I know. Patience, Devin.
I think this is the most passionate I've been.
This is hard.
I mean, I was passionate about a lot of our other people.
Oh, I know. But this one's like, it hits home because it's relatable.
The reason why I'm so passionate is because, again, we'll get there, but we have been through hell.
Yeah.
The last few years.
100%. We are all so burnt out.
2 years ago.
This is not a good time for this bullshit.
2 years ago, we were superheroes. The world could not continue without us. Mm-hmm. These prosecutors who charged Rodonda. Court was stopped. Mm-hmm. You know, court was stopped. They were working from home offices. They weren't going out into the trenches.
Exactly.
They were not wearing trash bags and PPE.
Yeah.
So 2 years ago, we're superheroes.
Yeah.
And here we are. We've made a mistake and now we're a criminal.
Yeah.
Going to jail.
Exactly.
And it's just like, again, if you're not in healthcare, you don't understand.
Exactly.
And so what a lot of people are afraid of is what this is going to do for the profession going forward.
Well, that's the thing. Now, you know, nurses are, you know, this is going to change a lot of ways I think facilities handle medication errors.
Which needs to happen.
And it should happen.
Which needs to happen for sure.
But I think
So I think there's going to be good changes out of it.
Oh, yeah.
But from the nurses themselves, from the little people.
Yes.
You know, I think hospitals and those that have the, mm-hmm. the power to change some of these systems, mm-hmm. I think that's going to come out better.
Yeah.
I worry about the people that are going to get the blame when something goes
exactly.
wrong.
And I worry about the people who are thinking to themselves right now, like, well, if I make a medication error that's this big, you know, my mm-hmm. hospital is going to throw me under the bus because why the hell wouldn't they?
Why would they care about me?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, back to your paper.
Oh, God.
We're going to get to more of that discussion.
We are going to get to it. We are.
You can tell I can't wait.
I know. Devin's vibrating again, you guys.
Sitting on my hands.
So now her attorney also pointed out that the initial death certificate cited intracerebral hemorrhage and cardiac arrest as a cause of death. And the second certificate issued a whole year later identified vecuronium intoxication as a cause of death. And this was issued without an autopsy.
So again, for proof of that, an autopsy?
Exactly.
You need
and we don't have one. We never got an autopsy. So the Tennessee Department of Health had determined that Vanderbilt had a significant role in Charlene's death. Mm-hmm. And despite CMS believing this also, when Tennessee Department of Health reopened the case, they sanctioned Rodonda only and not Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt has paid no fees.
Bullshit.
No fees. Which boils my blood. Boils me.
I'm growling.
Devin is physically growling. This is precedent setting here in this lab.
Yes. Not only for the health.
Devin just set a new
precedent
in this pod lab for growling.
I hate big money.
Oh. Same. So CMS did require them to issue a plan of correction. Guess how long their plan of correction was? Guess how many pages of shit did they figure out that they had to fix? Because 330 pages of shit that they had to fix.
Oh, I thought you were, sorry, I stand corrected. I thought you were saying that they came up with a one-page plan of correction.
No. They
found 330
pages of crap that they, that were their shortcomings.
That I believe. So, I've had to help write plan of corrections.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And none of this was implemented until after the CMS investigation. So in other words, Vanderbilt did not take it upon themselves to fix some shit on their end after this error was made.
No.
They only did this when they were forced to do so. Otherwise, they would have not had their Medicare funding.
And again, in part of integrity, you know, I always, and I follow the lead from who I work with and who is a role model for me. You know, she always says, let's find it and fix it before someone tells us that they found it.
Right.
And tells us how to fix it.
Because that's the right thing to do.
Let's find it ourselves and let's fix it ourselves before we have someone else telling us to do so. Let's find our own shortcomings. Let's come up with a plan ourselves to how to make us better.
Exactly.
And if they ask about it along the way, we can show the error, we can show the mistake, but look at what we've done on our own without someone else slapping our hand.
Exactly. It just, it's
good practice.
The right thing to do and it's a character thing. It's an integrity thing on the behalf of the hospital.
Yeah.
You know, it just shows that you mean well.
Instead.
It just shows you mean well.
They're waiting for someone else to tell them
exactly,
what they
did
wrong.
They don't actually give a fuck.
No.
Excuse my French, but they do not. So.
I've gotten also some feedback that a lot of people like your French.
I know. I did hear that. Yes. Actually, some people have said I could do without the swearing. And then other people have said I actually love your swearing. So.
When it's appropriate.
I feel like I tastefully swear most of the time. Sometimes maybe I overdo it. I'll try to pull it back a little
bit.
Enough
tangent on the French.
I'm sorry. Anyway. So now her lawyer also did discuss the settlement that was paid to the family and that part of the settlement agreement.
Quote unquote hush money.
Was that exactly that the family not discuss the error publicly.
Yeah.
Another step that they took
to cover this.
So the
only money that we're going to lose is the money that it's going to take to keep you quiet.
Exactly. That's
it. And not put us through the ringer.
Yep. So that was a whole nother step that they took to bury this completely. So the defense had called Leanna Kraft to testify on Redonda's behalf. So she spoke on the culture of nursing at Vanderbilt. So she is a nurse educator, I believe, that works on the unit. And so she talked a little bit about the culture of nursing at Vanderbilt at the time. And she had reported that they have a large population of new nurses there that need a lot of guidance. And she described nursing on this unit as a very demanding job. And
I got a post from one of them that we're going to read. And I mean, it specifically talks about a shift at Vanderbilt, but this could be any hospital. This could be any. Go walk into one right now and this exact stuff is happening.
Now, she knew Redonda really well, and she had testified that she felt Redonda had a high level of maturity for her age, and that she added that Vaught had always been a great nurse and that she was excellent with patients and families. And she reiterated that she had that the known software issues between the EMR and the cabinet, that those had been ongoing for quite a while. And she spoke that on how there were no scanners in the PET CT and how there is one there now, though Vanderbilt put one there as part of the plan of correction. So there was discussion. So there was discussion as well around whether Charlene should have been monitored after she was given Vorsed. So we know that the provider did not order monitoring, but it is common practice to monitor patients receiving sedation. So while a more experienced nurse may have just known that she should have needed to be monitored, a newer nurse, such as Redonda, relies a lot more heavily on physician orders and may not have just known.
And you know
that.
What? And unfortunately, you know, we always say in our scope of practice, there's a lot of things that we can do based upon nursing judgment. I have a feeling, again, this is going to be one of the changes in healthcare. There's going to be a heck of a lot less nursing judgment and making it more black and white. If there's not an order, because again, people are afraid. And it's just going to be one of those other things. It's just changing the culture of healthcare.
Exactly right. Now, prosecution again cited all the warnings that she bypassed and argued that she was guilty of the charges. And they had also said of Redonda leaving the patient unattended that, quote, she knew what was required. That's no accident. She had schooling. She had nursing training. For whatever reason, she just didn't do it. End quote. So Stryance, in her defense,
I'm quiet because I'm angry.
I know. Stryance, in her defense, again highlighted the plethora of systemic errors, including warning fatigue, which we talked about in the first episode, and how all of these constant warnings, constant, you know, alarms and bells and some messages on your screen, and you have to click through this and acknowledge this, and it just does not elicit the same response as it is intended to anymore when it is a constant influx, constant. He also talked again about the multiple steps that Vanderbilt took to conceal this entire issue. And he also argued that prior medication errors at Vanderbilt had not resulted in criminal charges, even big ones. And he stated that, quote, this isn't just to throw dirt on VUMC. They have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that this was reckless homicide. And remember, mm-hmm. the burden of proof is beyond reasonable doubt. Mm-hmm. And we have dueling death certificates. I think, to put it charitably, they are exercises in creative writing. End quote.
That's completely
Which is
true.
So true, because we don't have an autopsy. We have no way
of
knowing.
I think that's completely true.
100%.
Right. That legit.
Exactly right.
We can say with likelihood, but is it a reasonable doubt?
Exactly. We don't know. Now, after these closing arguments, the judge handed off her charges to the jury on Thursday night that week, with deliberations set to begin Friday morning. Now, the panel was of 12 jurors, 6 men and 6 women, and included one practicing registered nurse and a former respiratory therapist.
That was one of my questions, was if they worked in healthcare. Mm-hmm. You know, because it has to be a jury of your peers, right? But they also want people that are not biased. And,
exactly.
You know,
so it's tough to say whether that was...
Okay, so we have a couple healthcare people on there, so that makes me feel a little
better.
We
do, yeah.
All right.
Now, on Friday, March 25th, 2022, the jury deliberated for just over 4 hours regarding Redonda's case. And during deliberation, Redonda spoke about her past few years, which have felt as though she's been in limbo ever since her error. Mm-hmm. And she stated, quote, knowing what I know now, even if the jury finds me guilty... Even if Judge Smith decides that prison time is the appropriate sentencing for this, and it's the maximum amount of time, I have zero regrets about telling the truth.
Again, I've been speaking this word,
yes,
integrity.
Exactly.
She has it. I hope somewhere down the line, when all of this stuff, if you were to Google her name 20 years from mm-hmm. now, that I hope somewhere towards the top of it comes with it, a woman of integrity.
Exactly right. So, after just over 4 hours of deliberation, the jury found Redonda Vaught guilty of abuse of an impaired adult. And they also found her guilty as well of criminally negligent homicide, which is a slightly lesser charge than what she was initially indicted for, which was reckless homicide. Mm-hmm. So, after the verdict, Vaught, whom had been very emotional and tearful throughout this entire trial, was stoic and appeared... sort of relieved for all of this to be over.
Well, I think to just, again, to not be in limbo.
Well, exactly. Like, to not, the unknown.
None of
you
us
know?
Hate that feeling of unknown.
Oh,
you just want
to
know.
I can't even imagine.
You just
want to
know.
That's awful. Exactly. So she confirmed this in an interview after the fact. She said, quote, I'm just relieved that this portion of the process is over. I hope that they, meaning the Murphys, are also just as relieved to be moving on from this process, which has been held up in the legal system for 4.5 years.
Right. And it affects their grieving process, too.
Exactly. Yeah. And what she said was, I hope that they are able to find peace with the resolution of this process, end quote. So her attorney, Peter Stryans, had said, I hope that this does not set any legal precedent. I hope that this DA's office or any other DA's office will not see this as an open season on medical errors.
That's the biggest fear right now.
That's what everyone
is the biggest fear right
really
now.
Scared about. Exactly. Now, the gross neglect charge can carry a 3 to 6 year sentence, while the criminally negligent homicide carries 1 to 2 years, which is a lot less than...
It was like 6 to 12 or something.
Yeah, it was 2 to 12, I think.
2 to 12,
yeah,
okay, yeah.
Yeah. So... sentencing is scheduled to be handled by Judge Jennifer Smith, who presided over her case.
So you said, and again, we're not lawyers,
nope.
And so I don't know if you know the answer to this. So one carries a charge of, say, 1 to 1 year to whatever, mm-hmm. and the other one is 3 to 12. So does she have to serve the minimum of...
I don't actually know for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I'm sure we, you know, we've gotten actually some legal perspective in some of our listeners
right,
throughout the
exactly.
week, and maybe you guys can chime in on this. But obviously, I mean, her sentencing's coming in May, so we'll know the answer. But
right.
you know, we're just making assumptions. We
sure.
don't know how it works.
We don't know.
We
are not no legal people. So the medical community has been following this whole situation so closely, and this is felt to have set a dangerous precedent. Obviously, like we've been saying. And it has essentially destroyed what little for morale that frontline healthcare workers have left. There's public outrage
yep.
that Vanderbilt has not been held accountable and that they paid zero fines. And how are administrators that made the decision to hide this mistake and falsify a report to a medical examiner's office go unpunished? how this is illegal. They broke
the law.
It's very,
you know, when you get to that level, and along with, you know, DAs and whatnot, everything's very political.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, we know with politics comes money.
We do.
And so we don't know. You know, there was one theory that I saw on TikTok, and somebody said, you know, this DA is trying to make a name for themselves because they don't have to do this charge because the family didn't want it pressed.
Right.
So what was the intention? Is
exactly.
The intention... We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know. We will never know.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
So... A couple, like, little tidbits, too, that may be playing into this, and people have been sort of wondering if it has anything to do with what's going on. It's a known fact that Vanderbilt admin has ties to the DA's office.
Well, and that there's, what did I just say?
Stay tuned. Listen to this. There's a theory floating around that this is a big reason why Vanderbilt has not been held responsible, because the DA that is currently running for re-election used to be a professor at Vanderbilt. So there's that. Also, this is also kind of alarming. Initially, Redondo.
What's that called? Conflict of interest?
Yeah, that's what
that's
called.
A little bit anywhere.
That's what that's called. That's what that is right there. Yep. So also this. So
I'm growling again.
Here we go. So initially, Redondo was cleared of her error, right? And was felt to not be grossly negligent.
Right.
But once Vandy's lies are exposed and CMS threatens to suspend the hospital's Medicare reimbursements, shit hits the fan for Redondo.
Didn't I say that in part one?
Yes.
Once exactly. CMS gets involved and you take away your funding, like,
exactly.
That's when people care.
Exactly. So suspension of Medicare reimbursements obviously would have financially crippled this hospital, right?
Completely.
Yeah. So now that Vanderbilt is in trouble, the board takes action against Redondo, but because Vanderbilt is a donor to the governor's office, and the governor's office appoints the fucking board. So there's all these, like, little connections that everyone's like,
I hate politics.
You know, that it chaps me that this nurse, this overworked, underpaid healthcare worker who was burnt out beyond belief from this pandemic is now going to jail. So Vanderbilt executives broke the law in a massive way, obviously. So Murphy's death was extremely tragic, right? And this
Without a doubt.
This should not have happened.
Without a doubt.
And what kills me is that she died horribly.
Yeah.
You know, she was probably awake and conscious and not able to move or breathe and felt everything.
And just felt like, what's happening to me? Why can't I breathe?
So,
and terrified.
That must have been just one of the worst kinds of deaths
and for the family to feel like that's how
exactly and to for that to be known, it's just so incredibly sad. So Redondo's actions do technically fit those charges that were made, and she had her license revoked, rightfully, but this really highlights how fast and how easily a hospital system will throw one of their valued staff members to the wolves and make a scapegoat in order to distract from their own inherent systemic shortcomings.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
Yeah.
And this whole scenario was unsafe, and she should not have been in that situation, and it should not be overlooked.
No.
And that is where I stand right now, because I know...
That is where she stands.
Yes.
This is where I'm going to, like...
This is where I stand.
Bring in some of these reactions. And the reactions are right in line with everything that you just said. And
yes.
And you and I both love our jobs.
Yeah.
We love where we work.
We do.
We love healthcare.
We do.
We went into it for a reason.
Yes.
It's just, when you see stuff like this, it's terrifying. You know, none of us ever thought we'd have to work through a pandemic.
No.
First of all. And so then you see what's happened to the healthcare field in the last 2 years.
Right.
And then now to have this, when you're just beaten down and you're tired and you think there's a glimpse of the pandemic being over. But now if you make a mistake, careful.
You might go to jail.
You might go to jail.
Yep.
So.
And your hospital is not going to do anything.
So what I did was I was just to kind of, you know, again, we're kind of divided between those that are in healthcare and those that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to find, it's been so blown up on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to, like, take some clips of, like, what I have found.
Yeah.
And you can find these too. All I basically did was one of my Facebook friends and several of my Facebook friends, because obviously, you know, healthcare people, everybody's been posting about this. And so there was a hashtag, I stand with Redondo. And so I was just, like, clicked on it, kind of went down this rabbit hole. And So this first one that I have is from a nurse who actually worked at Vanderbilt at the time of this incident. She didn't necessarily work with Redonda or on that floor, but so I'm just going to kind of go through and read some of the reactions from social media from people in the healthcare field.
Awesome.
The outcome of this case should matter to all nurses. A nurse being charged with homicide for a medication error with no ill intent will set a standard for all medication errors moving forward. Criminally charging for a med error will not promote a culture of safety, but will instead encourage nurses to hide their mistakes in fear.
Mm-hmm.
You can, and so I'm stopping the statement for a minute. We can all say, you know, we're, you know, when we've made mistakes, we bring them up, we go through the process of reporting and, you know, and fixing what we can. Well, if we're not reporting future errors, how do we know other problems aren't going to be fixed?
Right.
Because we don't know that the errors are happening, right? So, which makes it more unsafe.
Mm-hmm. And nurses are going to be afraid to do a cabinet override when it is medically necessary.
Right.
And maybe some people will have delays in care and who knows what's going to happen after that.
So continuing this statement, while I think it is terrible that this error occurred and that someone died, the full responsibility of this mistake should not ride on the nurse's shoulders alone. The flawed healthcare system should be held accountable too.
So true.
I worked at Vanderbilt when this incident occurred, just a couple units over from where Redonda worked. I can attest to firsthand to the systemic issues that contributed to this mistake. Rarely were we adequate staffed. Rarely did we get a single break within our 12 plus hour shifts. Mandated overtime at every opportunity.
Oh my God.
Vanderbilt is not unionized, so there's no one to advocate for these things. Vanderbilt is not innocent. I remember being told to lie while clocking out when we were required to confirm that we had gotten a lunch break. This was a result of a lawsuit against Vanderbilt from ER nurses who rarely got a break.
You're kidding me.
And again, this could be a disgruntled employee. I don't know. You know, because I know sometimes we see things about our own place of work and people are spatting off when they don't know the whole thing.
Sure.
So take it for what it stands. But when it's on social media, it's out there to be.
Yeah, exactly.
But again, this is not just specifically Vanderbilt. This could be any healthcare facility.
Absolutely could be.
I was told that if I checked no, management would call and question my time management. I distinctly remember having to override medications after the hospital switched to Epic at the end of 2017 when this incident occurred because the med dispensers weren't properly set up for Epic, which basically just removed a safeguard in place to prevent errors like this.
So their EMR was being switched completely and that's what caused the... Okay.
Med errors are almost inevitable when you're given so much to do and so little resources. This is the one that got me, and this is the only quote that I posted on my own personal Facebook page. Mm-hmm. This is every nurse's worst nightmare.
100% agree.
I feel terribly that Redonda could spend over 10 years in prison for a mistake like this.
Yes.
I feel terribly that Vanderbilt threw her under the bus completely after trying to hide this accidental death. Nurses need to stick together to support each other. We need to push for positive change within our flawed healthcare systems to prevent mistakes like this from happening. Healthcare systems will continue to blame the individual, even when systemic issues contribute.
Mm-hmm.
They will continue to keep unsafe conditions and value profits over patient safety as long as we let them. Hashtag I stand with Redonda.
Ugh.
Wasn't that powerful?
So
now the parts about Vanderbilt, so take them. I take them with a grain of salt. But the beginning and then the end, I was like, "Oh, girlfriend!
Oh my God,
you got that?
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely."
Here's another one.
Okay.
As of today, the precedent has been set. If you are working in a hospital that is short-staffed, without properly functioning safety measures and double checks, and you make a big error, you will be charged with homicide. Even if you acknowledge it as soon as you realize and do everything you are supposed to do to try to fix it. Even if the hospital tries to hide it until the government threatens to withhold funding.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the hospital pays off the family so that they can't testify, even though they say you aren't guilty of those charges. Even if the original death certificate says something else and the hospital didn't send the body for autopsy.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to where you work and the situations you are put in, because if you mess up, you'll be thrown under the bus. To err is human. Also be prepared for people to hide their mistakes at the cost of patience.
It's so sad.
This woman is part.
This is so sad.
This is what healthcare is feeling right now.
I know.
This is not to like get us down. This is real nurses, real the other people in healthcare system, not just nurses. These are real people and how we're feeling right now mm-hmm. when you're already beaten down.
Right.
And so this is to not to like discourage anybody, and we're gonna get there, but. This is what this has done to the healthcare field for the people that are supposed to give everything that we have and leave everything behind at home and care for mm-hmm. these patients that we're going to continue to do because that's what we do.
Because that's why we do this.
This woman is part of my family and nothing can change that. She has stood by us when we needed her and I'll be damned if I don't do the same. She is one of the most caring people and nurturing souls you'll ever find. I was often told that she is the best nurse she's ever met, and that got me thinking. If you destroy the best of us, the worst of us don't stand a chance. Regardless of how you feel, there were no winners today. We have all lost a little something we'll never get back. Redonda, we love you.
Oh, so
I was
sad.
Like, oh my God, that one's so true. If you destroy the best of us, what happens to the worst of us?
Exactly right.
Oh. I just have a few more.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just like these. And I obviously, like, I was going down a rabbit hole, but I was like, these were just so good.
Yes.
Since I first heard of this case, I have kept tabs. Since the trial started, I have watched recaps and read articles on how Redonda was negligent or not a prudent nurse. Let's just say this much. The nursing profession and healthcare as we know it is over. Nurses nationwide will constantly live in fear of what ifs. It will come to 9 o'clock med pass not being completed until 1 o'clock
right.
because we are triple and quadruple checking medications on 7 different patients in fear that one simple human error will cause us to be criminally charged. Now I pause here for a moment. Someone else might be saying, well, fine, give it 4 hours late if you're double, triple, quadrupling checking. But then on the other side, we're going to be getting, you're outside your 1 hour window. You were 4 hours late on that med.
Yeah,
what's going on?
Yeah,
what's your time
we
management?
Get in trouble.
So again, it's lose-lose.
Yep.
Hospital systems nationwide won't have accurate patient safety data because the self-reporting system will ultimately fail.
Exactly.
I said this after the first one. Again, because nurses will be terrified that they will face criminal charges. Mistakes like these, however tragic, happen more frequently than we'd like to admit. Most don't end up in patient death. Sometimes they do. When you hear nurses begging and pleading for safer ratios, increased staffing, better working conditions, better equipment, mm-hmm. and monitoring systems, and overall a better work environment, think of this situation. Think of the nurse making an honest mistake, reporting it immediately, doing everything within her power and scope of practice to make it right, and ultimately losing everything because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Redonda Vaught made a mistake. She is human like the rest of us are, but she made that mistake and faced every consequence that was handed to her. Should she have lost her license? The State Board of Nursing said yes. I can't argue that.
I can't either.
Should she do jail time? Absolutely not. Redonda has paid her price for the mistake she made. Vanderbilt, however, has not. They hid the mistake, paid the family off of the deceased resident, and went out of their way to push the blame on Redonda when it came out and the CMS investigation began. Vanderbilt never once backed their nurse, who up until December 26, 2017, had been an excellent nurse, and from what I heard, was well respected and valued as a staff member mm-hmm. of Vanderbilt. This was
says.
Not just a ruling on Redonda Vaught, but the nursing profession as a whole. To my nurses, be safe, be careful, and for the love of God, protect not only your license, but yourself. Check on your nurses. We are not okay.
Ugh.
That I'm like.
That ruined me.
Oh, all right. And I'm almost done. Because I know we're all like down. We can't like, don't get down on us anymore. But this is the voice of the healthcare field.
No, I know. It's important.
This was the day that I drove 35 minutes. Oh, and this one gets me because I can't tell you how many times I've done this. This was the day that I drove home 35 minutes home before I realized I still had a mask on. That's how busy and exhausted I was from working hard for my patients over a 12-hour shift.
Ugh.
Years ago, I gave a patient too much insulin. I made a mistake. I remember thinking, of all the medications I give, it just had to be insulin.
Had to be insulin.
Because the fact is, the ins and outs of insulin was drilled into my brain in nursing school.
Yes.
The importance of dosing, proper administration, proper monitoring, proper safety checks, etc. But I still made the mistake. The mistakes that were on the trial this week were literally the same overlooked safety checks and mistakes that I made. I am Redonda. Was I negligent? Absolutely. Was there malicious intent? Absolutely not.
Yep.
Was I busy, overworked, understaffed, exhausted, starving? Yes, 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 yes,
all
yes.
of that. Yes.
I remember everything about the moment I made that mistake. My entire body went warm, as if I could feel the mistake deep within my own body. I remember the patient and his response when I immediately told them what I had just done. I remember being afraid to tell the nurse in charge, and so I went to the manager on duty instead. Have I given the wrong medication since that time? No. But have I bypassed safety checks and proceeded with overrides and given meds before approved by pharmacy and continue to feel overworked and exhausted and starved and stressed? Yes, 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 yes. This is the reality of the healthcare system, not just the reality of nursing. Yet we are the ones hanging on the cross for it. Mm-hmm. I am Redonda. And I also don't want this to sound like a quote-unquote wine fest.
No,
if you're not healthcare listening to this, if you are healthcare, we're like, wow, this is so powerful, right?
Yes.
And they're speaking what we're thinking.
100%.
But for those that aren't that are listening, we're thinking, well, everybody's short-staffed. We're all looking for people. None of us can get people to work, blah, blah, blah. But again, when you're dealing with people's lives, having to take on all of these extra tasks and having to work in an environment like this, it's affecting patient safety.
Yes,
it's affecting people's lives. Yep. And this is the result of what happens.
Exactly right.
And healthcare is only getting more and more challenging. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day, I remember, you know, people saying like, oh, you know, because I haven't been shy about saying this, I work in the long-term care field. Mm-hmm. Acute care nursing is not for me.
Right.
But the realm of 15 years ago, the patients are more acute. They're getting tougher. Yes, the people that just used to be custodial care coming to the nursing homes to live out their lives, there's some of those.
Yeah.
But we're getting the more and more because the hospitals are pushing them out. They have more fundamentals.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's going to continue to happen.
Oh, yeah. It's not
hospitals are
going to
get more challenging.
Yep.
And long-term care is going to get more challenging. And you're getting the more of these higher acute patients, but yet you're still expected to take care of 25.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, everywhere in the world is struggling right now with their staffing, mm-hmm. but not every single job affects safety and someone's life.
Exactly right.
This is, again, hopefully nobody comes down on us this week because this is just my opinion. But and nobody really has come down on us. Everybody's been great. Yeah. But this is just some of the stuff that I was reading this week. And, you know, I did find you did send me something from mm-hmm. someone who was not healthcare.
Right.
You know, giving the explanation. So you were like, well, here's the other side. I almost feel like you and I debated on this like all mm-hmm. week long via our cell phones. And
oh,
like,
yeah, we totally did.
Yeah, but Devin, but then there was this. And I'm like, I know, Kate, but then there's this.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
You know, and because it is such a, you know, and I'm not all one sided. Like, thank God I wasn't on the jury. But
yeah, this is so hard because like we've said many times before, we understand that this technically meets, you know, those criteria for the criminal charges.
Nope, we agree with that.
And that unintentional mistakes often lead to criminal charges when somebody dies. And we get that. And there was negligence here, 110%.
Yes.
There was negligence here.
And ask Redonda, because she's been asked, and she will tell you.
And she will tell you.
She agrees with that.
100% responsibility for this. But I just don't think that making her the scapegoat for all this is right. It's just not. And it's not right that the hospital has bore no responsibility for this whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's just not right that they have let her fry for this, essentially, right, in the media, and that they have let her go to jail for this.
So I think the way that we can kind of conclude is to not really hear it from us, but to hear it from Redonda herself.
Yes.
Because somebody's probably listening. If you're a young college girl, high school, whatever, not just girl, but a mm-hmm. woman, a man, or if you want to change careers and you were thinking about nursing and now you're scared shitless.
Yep.
We do have a message for you that I certainly would not change my profession for the world. I'll still continue to work in healthcare. Mm-hmm. But we'll let you hear the message from Redonda herself.
What about any message to nursing students or people thinking of going into nursing right now in light of this verdict?
I would say that that's a valid concern. Just remember why you entered this profession in the first place, why you decided you wanted to go to school to be a nurse. It's a scary place that we work in for a lot of reasons, more than just this, more than just the risk of fucking up so terribly to the extent that you could be responsible for someone's death. There are risks every day in this field. Be cognizant, Be diligent at your job. Trust your gut.
Yeah.
And be the voice for change. You are more powerful than you realize.
That's what I've been telling
every,
them.
Every one of you are more powerful than you realize.
I love that too.
We are not like doctors. We are not like major corporations. We are individuals, but as a community, we compromise 60 to 70% of the entire healthcare community. No, sir. And I think that it's important that you remember how powerful you are in numbers. You have used social media to be your voice, to be your platform. People like Erica and so many other nurses and healthcare providers, you have used this as a way to get together and be the voice for change. Use your voice. Do not forget your voice. Do not sit idly in the background. If you see something bad or wrong or inappropriate, step up. Do not let yourself be walked all over, because you are more important than that. You are all more important than that.
That was a TikTok from the nurse Erica, who I love. I watch her stuff all the time.
So she was with Redonda.
She was at the trial and was there.
To kind of represent the nursing field.
Yep.
So I think we've really covered it all. We've stressed ourselves out for another hour.
Yes.
But it was important, because this is really shaking the whole system.
100%. I am, you know, we're all just like kind of, I think, worn out and exhausted from all of the emotion, the roller coaster of the trial, and things might ramp up again when we have the sentencing in a little while. So,
and you know what? And even if I was wrong and it's not really a thing for May 13th to wear purple, I'm going to wear purple.
Oh, yeah.
Stand in solidarity for Redonda and
that's
wear
right.
some purple.
That's right. Yeah, wear some purple.
Wear some purple.
Because, I mean, this whole situation is just so sad for Charlene and for Redonda and for nursing in general. And we appreciate you guys listening. And
thank you for your support.
Thank you for your support.
And we'll conclude with, you can follow us on Instagram at MedCrimesPodcast.
You can send us a Twitter at MedCrimesPC.
You can find us on Facebook by searching MedCrimesPodcast.
Or if you wish to become a Patreon, you can visit www.patreon.com/MedCrimesPodcast. Keep us going. We love you guys.
We love you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. It hopefully won't be long till the next one.
Bye.
Bye.